That's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord, my God, in your presence. That's where I belong, seeking your face,
touching your grace,
touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock,
heaven, in your presence,
in your presence, oh God,
in your presence,
in your presence. That's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord my God, in your presence. That's where I belong, seeking your face,
touching your
grace. In the cleft of the rock,
nowhere but in your presence,
in your presence, oh God.
I want to go
where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, oh God. In your presence, that's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong, seeking your face,
touching your grace,
touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock,
nowhere but in your presence,
in your presence, oh God.
I want to hide
where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by the blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. That's in your presence, oh God.
In your presence,
in your presence, that's where I am. Seeking your face,
your face,
touching your grace,
touching your grace.
In the cleft of the rock,
nowhere but in your presence,
in your presence, oh God.
I am redeemed,
and I'm bought with the price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. I am redeemed,
and I'm
bought with the price.
Jesus
has changed my whole life.
Show. Father, we only ask of thee that you would show me the way, O God. Show us, Lord Father, where do we go from here? What would you have us to do? Father, Lord, precious Savior, you've brought us here, you're even leading us in song. Speak to us now, Lord Father. O God, lift us, lift our hearts from the places we've come from, Lord, from these jobs and the various activities that we've done throughout the day. Lord, may you be, O God, just our only desire at this time. Speak to us, sing with us, O God, and lift us up, O God, that we'd turn our hearts even upon Jesus, turn our eyes on thee, and get our eyes away from the things of this life. O Father, that make our eyes so strangely dim, O God. We just want to be, Lord, brightened up again, O God, to be encouraged, not discouraged, O God. Give us your grace, touch everyone this night. Lord, the prayer I pray, Father, is not for me alone. It's for our pastor, it's for the brethren all here. Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. Father, Lord, if there's any, Lord, Savior, thing that, Lord, Father, any brother would have or sister, let us lay those things aside and just turn our eyes on Jesus, for that is all that matters, O God. It's just this moment we have with thee. Lord, to think we've spent hours and hours and given our hours to work, but Lord, with so little time that you require of us, O God, let us really, really treasure this time and get into your presence, anoint the singer, anoint everything that is done, that Lord, when the minister would come, Father, Lord, we would all scream hallelujahs. We thank you, we love you. Be with us, fellowship with us. Break every fetter at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to greet your neighbor. God bless you.
Be of good courage. God spoke unto Joshua. When o'er the river God pointed the way, Jordan uncrossable, things seeming impossible, waters divided, they march and in things thought impossible, obstacle.
Hallelujah. Jericho's walls too must fall
to the ground.
God never failed. He stood back of his promises. Walls had to crumble as they marched around.
Jess, thanks to the saints there. There's a Thanksgiving. Brother Ellie's praising the Lord for adding another year to my wife's earthly journey. Amen. So happy birthday to our sister. And then some requests for saints traveling. Brother Tendai is traveling to Harare on Tuesday. Let's pray for him for that one there. Let's remember the wedding. That's one of the reasons he's going to be there. Let's not forget that as a request. And then Sister Rachel is traveling back to South Africa, so we wish her a blessed journey back as well. So those are requests. Let's open a couple of scriptures. Let's come to prayer tonight, saints. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Let's read that one first. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Just Acts 9, verse 6. And it's about Saul of Tarsus when he met Jesus on the road. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That'll be a thought we'll take today. What will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So whenever the Lord calls you, there's always a purpose that he calls you. There's something that he wants you to do. And whenever he comes to you and he speaks to you and things like that. Let's read John chapter 12 as well. Then we'll take a seat before we come to pray. John chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me have you not always. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, we're looking unto you now that you would help us. Father, in this earthly journey, you know, many of your people have been at work and at school. And Father, in the pressures of this life today and through this week. And Father, these bodies get a fatigue. And Lord, our human minds, they get, Lord, dull. But Father, in our souls, you are the same. Father, Lord, you are the great I am. You can never change. You are never consumed. Father, you said that you tire not and you faint not. So we just pray that you'll speak from the mercy seat upon this day and that you'd quicken each of your people. For Lord, upon this night, how we desire an audience with you in prayer, how we desire to come to your feet, how we desire to wait upon you, how we desire to seek your face, how we desire communion upon this night. So bless your people. These requests before us, as we bring them to thee, you bless them, Lord, and lay them upon the hearts of your people. And Father, Lord, every other need, Lord, you just stir us up now as we wait upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless. Let's be seated. I just want to take just a very simple thought, because I don't know if you feel like me, but I so much desire prayer this evening. I think it would be a real good thing if we could come to a time of prayer. Prayer is the key to all of these things. Prayer is the key at any junction. Prayer is the key to any situation. Yeah, every door has a lock, and you just need to find that lock. And you always find the lock through prayer. That's really the way we do. You can beat your head against it. You can try to use all of your own human ingenuity. But when you find that key that opens the door, that's what we're seeking to every situation this evening. That's our desire. So we've read in John chapter 12, it's a precious part of the scripture, we know it very well, about Mary, the mother of the sister of Martha, and the alabaster box. And what I really liked about the story, just when I was reading it today, is that it made me see, in fact, I was speaking to Brad Greg about it, a similar thing on the phone the other day, it made me see that the Lord, last week we said about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord always has a provision for every situation. Now, here was Jesus, and he knew that he was going to be crucified right on the brink of the Sabbath day. They were going to have to quickly take his body off the cross, take him, put him in the tomb. There wasn't really going to be any time to anoint him properly for his burial. So, the people might have been thinking, but we need to do this, that, and the other. But the Lord already had a provision. The Lord already saw there was going to be a need, and had already given Mary in her hands the very thing that was required to do this service for the Lord at that time. And I saw it in this kind of a way. I said it to Brother Greg on the phone. I said, I was thinking of Joseph of Arimathea, because it's a really powerful story. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a secret disciple, the Bible says. So he was a person that he never stood for Jesus. He never did anything, but he believed. Now, he was one of the Sanhedrin council, and maybe he tried to use his influence, and he thought maybe being a secret disciple, he could do more service for Jesus than coming out openly. And he was one of those kind of believers that, you know, they're just in the background. They never, ever seemed to do very much. But then came a time of need. The body of Christ had a need because Jesus was crucified. And the Bible said, it was prophesied that he needed to be buried with the rich, Isaiah said. You know, so he was going to be crucified. He was going to be numbered with the transgressors. But he had to be buried with the rich. Now, Jesus never made a provision for his own tomb. You know, Jesus wasn't worrying about, like the prophet, getting into the grave. He knew he was coming out. But according to prophecy, there had to be a provision made for Jesus to be buried. Yeah, and maybe when Jesus was crucified, maybe, I don't know, Mary, maybe Martha, and all the things, where are we going to bury him? We never thought of that. We never thought of him dying. But there's nothing that the Lord doesn't think about. Now, even things that we forget, or even things that we think haven't been covered or haven't been catered for, there's always a provision for that. And God's provision was a very, very unusual one. It was Joseph of Arimathea. And just at that junction in time now, here's Jesus been put, capital crime, crucified on the cross. Yes, numbered as a transgressor. All of his disciples now knowing to be associated with this man could cost us our lives, and they've all forsaken him, that even they've all run their own way, every single one of them. Here comes Joseph of Arimathea, just at the crucial junction. Because there was something he could do that nobody else could do. And he had been raised up for this very purpose. And now he gets anointed. It's amazing. The disciples are running away from the Romans. Joseph of Arimathea walks right into Pilate's judgment hall and goes and stands right before Pontius Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus. Now, it's something you don't really think about, but that was putting his life on the risk, or on the line. He was risking everything at that junction, but something rose up inside of him at that time. And he saw, there's something I can do here that nobody else can do. Now, I've been given this position for such a time as this. And he used his position. For the first time now, he came out openly and he took the body of Jesus down and took and put him in his tomb. Now, that's a powerful thing to think about. And at the same junction now, Jesus needs to be anointed for his burial. Yeah, and nobody's thinking of that and making a provision for it. But here's Mary, and she's got her pound of very costly ointment, and she's put it aside. And then just at that junction now, she gets an inspiration. And it's powerful the way that Jesus says it. If you go and read it in Matthew 26, he says, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this which this woman has done for me shall be told as a memorial. You know, this was something that was somehow she got right. If we speak of the getting him the spirit of the symphony, she got him the spirit of the composer. She really, at that junction, somehow got in tune, just like Joseph did, and realized, but hey, that's why I've been given this position. Here's something that can be done. Let me do what I can do. You know, and the amazing thing about the Lord and his body is that the body of Christ is so diverse. Yeah, nobody can do what another person can do. God has made it like that. Yeah, you think, like we said last week, the little boy with his lunch, he might have thought his lunch was so insignificant, but it was the key to open up the situation that had arisen where the people needed to be fed. You know, it's the Lord in his diversity. So what is needed at a time like that? Now, I like it when it speaks in Matthew 26 about Mary when she anointed Jesus. And the disciples were complaining at her. He said, leave her because she's done all that she could. Now, that's all that I think the Lord asks us to do. We're not all made the same kind of a way. Some people are very, very forthcoming. Some are good at evangelism. Some are good maybe at supporting the evangelism. You know, like we say, Brother Greg's good to get on the forefront with people like Brother Sasha, Brother Clayton. Yeah, others are very good to back them up. Others are very, very good to, some are good to bring the good Samaritan to the inn, and others are very good to look after him when he comes to the inn. Now, everybody's got their part to play in the body of Christ. Now, there's such a diversity, but every single one of us has been called for a purpose. Every single one of us, there's something the Lord has for us to do. And there's certain junctions. You think of, we spoke last week about the orchestra. You think of, there's many people in the orchestra that sit just with the instruments for long periods of time. Because it's not their time in that junction yet to play. But they've got to be in tune with the sheet music and see that, oh, I can see my time is coming. Now there's something that I'm supposed to play here. And every single person in the orchestra, they all play different kinds of instruments. But they've all got to make sure that they've got a harmony among themselves. In order to be faithful to the symphony, every single person must know, like we said last week, must know where you are on the sheet music. What am I supposed to do? And it's got to be playing in harmony. It's got to have your instrument tuned up to exactly the same tune as the rest of the people. Now, how do we apply that spiritually? I see Mary. Mary, at this junction, she was in tune. And that's why Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, we'll never forget what this woman has done. She really got right into the right frequency at exactly the right time. Yeah. And you can always tell you in the right frequency or being in the spirit, because it just becomes about you and Jesus. You know, to her, it wasn't any more about, I don't care what these people are saying. I don't care, you know, that Judas is complaining about this. Then she at that junction realized, look, many times, Martha's cooked for him at home. Many times he's been in our home. He's helped us along the way. But finally, here's something I can do for him. Here's something within my grasp, something the Lord has given me personally. There's no one else here that I can see can meet this need now. So I can meet this need now. Here's something that I can personally do for Jesus himself. Now, we don't get too many opportunities to do that in life. No, we don't get, look, I love to minister to the body of Christ. You know, I mean, that's one way you minister to the Lord in a sense. But imagine, I believe there's certain times in your life where the Lord gives you something special you can just for him. And those are wonderful things if you can discern that. And so like Mary, you realize, but hey, I can do something personally for him. And how did she get in tune at that junction? How could she be so in tune when the other ones weren't at that junction? Because if you go and trace the history of Mary, she used to sit at his feet. Whenever Jesus would come to the house, when Martha was so busy with all the affairs of life and wondering if the washing's been done and if the dishwasher's been stacked properly and all that, you know, Mary would be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when Jesus, now imagine, here's the conductor himself, here's the master of the symphony, the composer himself. And when Jesus was now ministering and speaking in that dwelling, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you can't sit at his feet. You can't spend time with the Lord like that. And Jesus wouldn't have been speaking abstract things there. You know, when you come and sit at Jesus' feet, he's going to speak practically to your situation. And he must have been speaking to her, and just something was getting in tune. Every time you hear his voice, like when we put on the messages, you listen to the message, it does something to you. You find yourself coming up higher. No, you find you start seeing things differently. You know, you start praying differently. You start, everything inside of your life starts to change because it's like you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. The word, the anointed word now is ministering to you. And that's the way that she was ministered into tune. You know, she really got into a harmony with Jesus. You know, somehow just sitting at his feet. But she didn't have to get into a harmony with Jesus about things that were irrelevant to herself. It was her walk, her calling. And then finally now, she manifests now that she was perfectly in harmony with him because just at that junction, she came and did exactly what she can do. She came and did what she was ordained to do. And what a difference that it made. Because when she poured out that alabaster box, I've said it before, it didn't only anoint the feet of Jesus. She now wiped it with her hair. So she started smelling with the same fragrance. And then the Bible says, and the whole house was filled of the fragrance. So just that one thing that one woman did, because she was in tune at that junction, gave such a sweet aroma, not only to Jesus, not only was Jesus refreshed, not only was Jesus ministered to at that junction, but everybody in the house, there was a difference now. Yeah, it's like when there's somebody comes and gives a blessed testimony, or someone comes and gives a blessed item, someone who's in tune and they come at the right frequency. It changes the atmosphere of a place. You find somebody come into the midst of a group of people, you know, they just speaking about this, that, and the other, and somebody comes in who's in tune and they start speaking about the things of the Lord. It changes the whole atmosphere. No, you find when the prophet was speaking about his experiences there in the woods, it brought an atmosphere into the home. And when the prophet was now speaking about what the Lord was doing and the junction they were at, it ministered Sister Hattie into the same frequency. She now was finding it. More she listened to the testimony and what was taking place and the atmosphere that was there, the more she got into tune until she finally hit a perfect harmony with the prophet. Said, that's nothing but the truth. And that so much pleased the Lord, just as much as it pleased the Lord here. Hallelujah. That the Lord says, wheresoever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall done as a memorial. So when I look at the symphony that we are in, this great end time symphony, and I look at the junction and the movement, and I look at the orchestra, this part of the orchestra which we are ordained each and every one of us to play, it teaches me a lesson. It teaches me one thing, that there's something that I can do. No, there's a part that I must play. So the only part, only thing that I've, the only requirement for me to do that is I've got to get into the spirit of what's going on, and I've got to make sure that I'm in tune. I've got to make sure that I get myself in tune so when my time comes, I'm playing in harmony with the rest of the people. You know, the prophet says that the harmony of the Father and the Son. He says this harmony is now to be between Christ and his bride. Now, That's how we need him to tune us, to bring us into harmony. The word harmony, if you look, it's a musical term, but it means an agreement between different parts to produce unity of effect. So you've got different parts, different. You've got percussion instruments, you've got your wind instruments, you've got all your stringed instruments, you've got different kinds of instruments in the orchestra. So all of these are playing different parts in agreement to bring unity of effect. So they're all going to bring forth the right kind of result. They're going to bring forth the wonders of the symphony. But every single individual person has the responsibility to make sure they're playing in harmony with everybody else. And that's where I think prayer is the most important thing. In everything we do, when there's not enough prayer, something that could be a blessing can become a curse. Something which the Lord puts upon us maybe to unite us together can be something that can divide us. You know, we really, really need to make sure that each of us as individuals. The prophet says, more so at junctions. You've got to make sure you're in tune. You've got to make sure that your individual life is in tune. And that's why I read the scripture of Paul, when Saul met the Lord. What did he say to the Lord? He said, what will you have me to do? And I think tonight when we pray, yeah, and at this junction in time, there's only one thing which you really, after praying for all the other prayer requests, the only other one thing that each of us as individuals needs to ask the Lord at this time is, what would you have me to do? I don't think we have any right as believers to tell somebody else what to do. We're not supposed to. We said it today. Christianity is the religion of motive. Yeah, the Lord works on your will. We should never coerce anybody to do something. Like, you know, for someone to come to the altar, we should never ever have to press someone to come to the altar. That's a human thing. That's not the way the orchestra should play. Now, if all the instruments are playing in the right place, the evangelist and everybody, the song leader and the congregation, and they're creating an atmosphere, when it's time for someone to come to the altar, the Lord will bring them to the altar. You know, everyone's playing and it's going to bring about the right kind of an effect. You don't have to scare people into the kingdom. You don't have to all keep telling people about hell all the time, you know, and give them bad dreams. No, you don't. You just do what the Lord wants you to do. You just be in harmony with the Lord. I've seen it before back home in Zimbabwe when we had our real revival. I have seen the pastor preach on church order and sinners came to the altar at the end of the service. It's amazing. You know, you'd never think a service like that. But when the Lord comes and anoints, he can do his work in the most unlikely of ways. But the problem with us as human beings, we many, many times think we have to help God. We don't need to help God. When God needed Joseph of Arimathea, he was there. When Jesus needed to be anointed, there was someone with an alabaster box. You know, at every junction, God's in the orchestras, everything we need to play the symphony. If we can just all be in tune and all play in harmony at this time, everything will just take care of itself. You know, it doesn't mean, I'm not just saying that there aren't other ministries and other things which can encourage and exhort. No, there's all different ways we can go about things. But if ever God brings his people to a situation, I'm 100% convinced the solution is in the orchestra. Yeah. We said it the other day. God brings Israel to the Jordan. He has Joshua. Okay? There's the inheritance. God never leads his people to a place that he doesn't intend to give them. God would never bring the children of Israel to this side of the Jordan and they see the promised land, they see the inheritance, and they can't possess it. But the problem is when God brought them there, there was a big, ugly Jordan overflowing between them and the promise. God wasn't surprised by that. God wasn't worried about that. And the children of Israel, they didn't get to that junction and that situation and say, hey, there's something's going wrong here. You know, how could we ever? No, they knew God doesn't lead you to something that he doesn't intend to give you. And if God has led us thus far, we just keep on going and you're going to find within the body is going to be the solution to get us across this situation. And as they got there, now the Lord says to Joshua, tell the Levites, take the ark. Go before the people. Yeah? Go about 2,000 cubits before the people. And as their feet touch the Jordan, God opens the way. There's no situation if we are the children of God, that there's no solution for here. Amen. I believe that. You know, whatever we need, the prophet said, if God needs something, if God knows you need something, he will send it to you. So the answer may be, like, we may need evangelism at the youth camp. Okay, so we need maybe Daniel Mazur to come and evangelize. But already in the body, God's already made a provision by making us friends with him years before. No, so the answer's in the body, the connection, the link, the key. You're always going to find it in the body. Someone's going to know the right person. Somebody's going to come up with a good idea. Someone's going to have their two fishes and five loaves or whatever that it was. You know, the solution is never far away. The only thing we need to do as individuals is get in tune. Yeah, because you might be the solution. Yeah, you might not realize that Nehemiah, he never realized he was the solution. He was coming to the prayer meeting every Friday saying, Lord, you need to help those brothers down there. The things aren't going well. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down and the people are in affliction. Lord, help your people. And the more he spent time with the Lord and the more he got in tune, the more he started to realize he was the solution to the problem. Yeah, and I think that's the greatest thing. Because we are people that always want to push it onto somebody else. Now we think, no, God must use that person to fix this problem. Or God, no. My only responsibility in this life, especially in my calling, is to go and ask the Lord each day, what will you have me to do? There's a lot of other people will have a lot of other ideas what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing and what I should be doing better and what I should be preaching and what I shouldn't be preaching. That's just human life. But the only thing that really matters is, Lord, what will you have me to? What will you have me to do? Because if I want to please the Lord, there's got to be a harmony between me and him. And if I'm in harmony with him and you in harmony with him, we're going to be working together automatically. We said that the same tuning fork take two pianos. If the one piano is tuned into the tuning fork, the other piano is tuned into the tuning fork, those pianos automatically are tuned to one another. You see, so our only calling, and that's how we need prayer. That's how we need to come into his presence. That's how we need to yield ourselves to him. Is we've got to get ourselves individually in our walk, in our calling, present tense in harmony with him. Amen. Like Mary did. And then you're going to find everybody. Look at the three wise men. Yeah, each of them had different gifts. Each of them, it was the prophet uses in Shalom. It was the Christmas symphony. They saw the star. The Lord brought them together. Yeah. If I don't know, the prophet does speak, but if you read the book Ben-Hur, it speaks of the backgrounds of them, and one came from here, and one, yeah, it's a nice book. I don't know if it's true. But each of them had, they were very different people, maybe with very different backgrounds, but the Lord brought them together at a certain junction in the symphony to do something that nobody else could do. And when they came, each of them came with an individual gift. One came with gold. One came with frankincense, one came with myrrh. And the only way the whole symphony could be declared there was when they each offered their appropriate gifts. Because that testified of who he was completely. One of them on their own couldn't testify fully of who he was. One, the gold, he's coming as the king. Frankincense, he's the priest. Myrrh, he's going to die. You know, he's the prophet, the priest, and the king. But it took all of them together. Each of them being in tune at that junction. And because they were in tune with him, they were following that star, it was automatically in tune with one another. And that is the key. Now, friends, the reason I'm saying this is I do realize that at junctions, whenever we speak of finance, whenever we speak of money, the greatest cause of problems domestically in the natural is money. There's nothing that can divide people more than money, issues of money. There's nothing. You go and have a look in homes. What is the real big thing that comes? It's not, there's other things, yes, but money is one of the main things that can be a real sticking point, because the wife thinks the money should have been spent on this and the husband says, no, it should be spent on this. And the children, obviously, they've got different priorities what the money should be spent on as well. So for them really to come together, to say, look, this is the way that we need to handle these finances. That's going to need something beyond just the natural. That's going to need a one accord. That's going to need each of us to be tuned in to the real tuning fork of God's will at this time. And I don't know any other way of doing that but by prayer. We can try to speak people into unity. We can try to argue into unity. We can try to fight our way the bride has into unity. None of those things work. Because in the early church, when they brought those 120 people who were out of tune, they were really out of tune at first. And they went through that process of prayer. And they stayed in the upper room. Then they started to get themselves into a one accord. They came into a harmony. Now I'll finish with that. What does the word harmony mean? Harmony means compatibility in opinion and action. So if you and I are in harmony, we have a compatibility in our opinion and in our action. Now we need that at this junction. We need that, saints. We need to make sure that we have compatibility in opinion and action. Because God has one solution to any situation. You know, in heavenly places, the mind of Christ this evening, God knows exactly where we are. God knows exactly. He knows where the alabaster box is. He knows where the tomb is. He knows where the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. He knows how to bring things together. But we've got to move beyond ourselves. Because the greatest enemy, we said the other week, of the divine frequency is the human frequency. That's why we've got to come up higher. You know, we've got to come up to that place where it's between you and the Lord. And if Brother Greg tonight, when we come to pray, he asked the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to ask you about other people's opinions. I'm not really interested in what other people think, what other people. What is it that you want me to do at this juncture? And then Brother Faithful does the same, and Sister Liana and Sister Pilad, every one of us, all of us are really seeking the mind of God individually to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. The problem is already solved. Amen. Because God doesn't make mistakes. The solution's there. Amen. But I shouldn't come to tell you what you need to do, and you shouldn't tell me. Yeah, you can't come and tell me, I want you to do this at this junction. I don't think that's really right. I don't think so. These are issues of free will. No one could come to Mary and say to her, you go and get your alabaster box and you go and break that alabaster box. No, that's not the way that it works. She sat at Jesus' feet long enough. She loved the Lord. She wanted to do something for him. Now the junction comes. She's in tune. She says, hey, I can do something. I can see what it is the Lord wants me to do. And even the others weren't even happy with what she was doing. And she said, I don't mind. This is between me and Jesus. This isn't between me and Judas. You know, so I think that, like the prophet says, in this symphony, we just need to get into the rhythm of the word. That's what he says. He says, each individual that's in that orchestra, you need to get into the rhythm of the word. Now you just get into the flow. You can see what it is that the Lord wants. The greatest enemy is our own understanding. The greatest enemy is our own reasoning. The greatest enemy is this fallen frequency of this outer man who thinks he knows better than the Lord. Now, I 100% am convinced. And look, when Israel came out of Egypt and they built the tabernacle, not everybody brought, when they had their offering, not everyone brought gold and all the things they did. Imagine if 2 million people brought things. They would have had a mountain of things to build. They didn't need all of that. But God had certain people that had the things that were required at that time. And at that junction, now those people were moved of the Holy Ghost to come and bring their contribution. The Lord had already given it to them in Egypt. It was in their possession, and now they used it for the tabernacle. But it wasn't everybody that came and brought. There came a situation, most of them told the people, don't bring any more. We've already got more than enough. And I believe it's the same in the body of Christ. Not everybody is supposed to give, you know, huge amounts of money. No, that's not the way God makes his people. Some people, the most important contribution you can make to what we are in at the moment is through prayer. Amen. And the second most important contribution we can make is to be in one accord with one another, is to be in harmony with one another and to work together, to bring ourselves, to make sure that we all aiming towards the same goal. And I believe then there's certain people God has appointed and ordained at this junction that are part of the solution. Yeah, you might come with your widow's mite, and that might be exactly what was needed to for us to cross the line. But I 100% believe that it's got to be an act of free will. We've got to give the Lord himself, the same one who called us from the world, the same one who convinced us we were sinners, the same one who saved us from our sins, the same one who led us into the message, the same one who leads us by his word. We need just the same leadership inside of our lives as individuals now to say, Lord, okay, at this junction, what do you want me to do? Amen. What do you want me to do? And then we just go and do it. And if I do what I'm supposed to at this junction and everybody else does, some it's just going to be prayer, some are going to be encouragers, some are going to be, you know, different things. But if each and every one of us do what the Lord is leading us to do, we're going to find out that God already had this problem fixed many, many years back. And he was always working towards the solution. And now we've just come to this situation and there's the divine solution. I believe that. And when you do things like that, there's no friction. There's no humans in the way pushing and this. No. There's not. It's just you and the Lord. If I see that, Lord, I want to do something for you. And I see there's a junction. I've got my widow's mites. Lord, I'm going to give my widow's mites for you. And I'm doing it with all my heart. It gets more attention than the guys coming with the big bags of money got from Jesus. Because she gave from her heart. She gave because the Lord must have done something. But she loved the Lord. She loved his house. She didn't have much, but she gave those widow's mites. And Jesus stopped his preaching. And he said, brothers, have a look over there. And you take Sister Hattie Wright was the same. There were lots of other people in the building fund at that time in the tabernacle who gave a lot more than Sister Hattie Wright. She pledged $50. She couldn't afford it. They reasoned her down to $20. There were other people maybe who gave hundreds. But the Lord so much respected the 20 because she did all she could. She did what she was supposed to do at that time. No one pressured her into that. She felt in herself, I want to give even more. And they pressured her not to give so much. You know, that's an amazing thing because she was in tune at that junction in the symphony. Not everybody else had to do that. But God had prepared her and she knew this is my season. This is the time I can do this for the Lord. And if those people, I don't know how many of them there are here, that are appointed at this junction to be the real answer to our situation, will just say to the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And do it. Hey, guys, we'll be back preaching what we should be preaching again. Amen. Evangelism and all the other things. I really do. And we'll just move past this junction just fluidly because that's the way the Lord does. We just get to the Red Sea and it opens up. We just get to the Jordan. What about Joshua? He wants to know how to bring down the walls of Jericho. What did he have to do? He used all of his military skill maybe. You know, he's working out and they're working out dimensions of the city. The walls are so high. We need catapults this big. And then he says, this isn't the way that we handle these things. These are the things of God. If God's brought us to this situation, the Lord himself has the solution. So what does he do? He goes to pray. He goes out. Maybe he's looking at Jericho. He's meditating. Lord, look at the city. I don't know what we're going to do here. And he meets the captain of the host of the Lord. Here comes the composer himself. And then he ministers the solution to him. It was such a simple solution. And all that Joshua was saying, Lord, okay, what is it that you want me to do? He said, just listen exactly what I tell you. Take the people, march around the city once for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, march around 7 times. And then on the seventh time, get all the people, the priests, to blow the trumpets and everybody shouts. Can you see the solution was unusual? But God had a solution. And all that Joshua needed to do was to get in tune. He just needed to wait there in the presence of the captain of the host of the Lord. And he ministered. I mean, didn't Joshua came from then? He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. And then he came and ministered to the people, everybody in their position. Boom! The walls of Jericho came down. So I would say this evening, saints, there's two things we really should focus on apart from these requests. Now we want to, apart from Sister Nicoletta and her wedding, that's a very important one to pray for. Sister Rachel traveling to South Africa. Brother Tendai traveling to Harare. Those are very important requests. But there's two things we need to pray about. Number one is to make sure we have harmony with one another at this time. Amen. To say, Lord, please help us now. Let not the curse, the blessing become a curse. Let not Satan come in. Let there be no division, like Paul said. Let's really pray for that. And secondly, say, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? What do you want me to do at this? The Lord might say, no, it's fine. You've done more than enough in the past. Let somebody else do this. When we started this project off, when we first came and presented that we needed the 70,000 building fund, do you know that somebody contacted me and said he wanted to pay the whole amount? And I said, by no means. I said, that's not the way that the Lord normally does things. I said, you contribute so much, whatever you feel, but let other people get a blessing from the Lord. But people are there. People, and I know that those kind of things can be done. But those aren't things, friends, that we coerce people to do. Yeah. That's somebody who's feeling inside of their heart to say, I want to do something for the Lord. The Lord's blessed me. I want to share my blessing in some kind of way. So let's put these things before the Lord today. Let's really come. Let's be like Mary and sit at his feet. Let's get ministered out of the human frequency on these things. Let's lay aside our human temperament, our own human ideas, our own human ways of doing things. And let's just come up higher. And let's just come into the mind of Christ and sit at his feet. And then just let that simple, sweet leadership of the Holy Ghost lead us in the next stage of what we're supposed to do. And we just rest in him because he's got it all under control. So let's stand, saints. Let's ask Brother Jesse to lead us just in one chorus there. And let's not forget these requests, saints, but let's come before the Lord. And let's put these things before the Lord. What do you have for us, Brother Jess?
Show me the way.
Show me the way. It's good, bro. It's fine.
Oh, Lord, come show me the way. Please, Lord, we need you to show.
Jesus, lead us in that one. Show me your way once more. We'll ask Brother Ellie to come and close for us in prayer. Let's remember Brother Wilmore with his hip. The Lord's done a good thing for him. May the Lord finish the work that he's begun. Let's pray for Brother Max and his family as well in Ghana. The Lord will bless them there and all their business which they about there, that the Lord will bless them indeed. Sister Daniela, let's not forget her dad as well, that the Lord will touch him and really work inside of his life. And these requests that are before us. So let's sing that chorus and we'll call Brother Ellie to close for us in prayer.
Show me. Heavenly Father, we come tonight after the alabaster box has been broken in our midst, O Lord, and that the fragrance of this precious perfume has been on us, O Lord, as we smell from that precious word of God. And the blessing has been spread around, O Lord. We are coming, Heavenly Father, now as a body to commit our gifts into your hands, O Lord. Knowing that, O Lord, nothing can be despised in the body. Every one of us, O Lord, had his place and their position and their role to play, as we have heard in the word, O Lord. Mm-hmm. O Heavenly Father, forgive us. Sometimes we don't consider each other as useful members of the body, O Lord. Many times we despise each other, O Lord, thinking that this one or that one has not a role to play, O Lord. But the fragrance of the perfume from the alabaster box has been spread around, O Lord. And we all have a portion of that, O Lord. And we have the role to play, O Lord. That's why we commit our weaknesses into your hands, our limitations into your hands, O Lord. Because we can't be all sufficient, O Lord. We need each other, O Lord. You are the most sufficient, O Lord. And you in us make us all sufficient, O Lord. That's why we need this harmony in our midst, O Lord. That's why we need to be in one accord, O Lord. Because if we are in one accord, we'll have one opinion and we'll have unity of action and we'll look into one direction, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we need that in this moment, O Lord, that this challenge, this Jordan is standing before us, O Lord. As your servant said, sometimes the solution may be very simple. Sometimes it may just be a little boy with two fishes and five loaves, O Lord. We may have despised him for a long time, O Lord, but it may just bring a word that will open the door, O Lord. Like that maid in the king's palace, O Lord, she didn't even have any value toward before that general, but she just said something. She was a slave, O Lord,
But she said, I know back home in Samaria, amen, there's a prophet. Amen. Back home, there's thus says the Lord. Amen. Lord, she didn't have chariots. She didn't have military skills. She didn't have PhDs, oh Lord. But she had connection with the prophet. And that was what started the whole process that led Naaman to being healed, oh Lord. We have our leprosy today, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, in our souls, in our bodies, we have weaknesses. We have sin that bothering us, oh Lord. Let us pray for one another, oh Lord. Let us consider one another as the blessed of the Lord. And maybe a prayer of the little one will help someone to be delivered from sin, will help someone to possess that gate he has been fighting for years, oh Lord. We commit this sermon into your hand. Let it impact our lives, oh Lord, not only for these circumstances that we are facing, but for the rest of our spiritual walk as a church, oh Lord. Anytime we'll be faced with challenges, oh Lord, maybe one of us will be, oh Lord, kept captive somewhere. Let us unite as a body and go and help him, oh Lord. Maybe we may have some financial challenges that will arise along the way, oh Lord. Let us unite as a body and face it. And with you in the camp, we know that we are more than victorious, oh Lord. That's why we unite in prayer, oh Lord, to commit our brother Wilmo into your hand. Heavenly Father, we want to see our brother full as he was before the surgery, oh Lord. Not even one single speck of limping, oh Lord. We condemn it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we want to see our brother fully restored, oh Lord. We need him, oh Lord. We need him fully active. We need him fully in his strength, oh Lord. His family need him. His job need him, oh Lord. Do something, oh Lord. Remember our sister Rachel, oh Heavenly Father. You know everything, oh Lord. As humans, we may have our plans, our objectives, oh Lord. Though her intentions was to go to America, oh Lord. But now it is clear that you want her to go back to South Africa. Everywhere she goes, you are God. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the omnipotent God, oh Lord. What she wanted to do in America, you can accomplish it in South Africa, oh Lord. Let her possess all the gates. Let her prosper in South Africa, oh Lord. Let her be a blessing to someone. Let the time she has spent here, oh Lord, oh Heavenly Father, let it be an encounter that she will never forget in her life, oh Lord. Maybe you wanted just her to come and have this experience, oh Lord, and go somewhere and meet someone that will benefit from this experience. Yes. Let it be for your glory, oh Lord. There's no mistakes in your plan. There's no failure in your advices, oh Lord. We commit it into your hand. Remember our brother Tendai going to Zimbabwe, oh Lord, and our sister Nicoletta for our wedding, oh Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we wish we could all be there to support our sister, oh Lord. You know how she has been a blessing for us in this body, oh Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, let even from far as we are, but let you, the omnipotent God, be there and make everything to come to plan, oh Lord. Make everything to come together. They may have some challenges financially, oh Lord. They may have some challenges in the organization. But you know where the solution lies. You know where the keys are for every question, oh Lord. And we are very expecting to see you, oh Lord. And we have the fully conviction, oh Lord, that you'll do something for your glory. Lord, we commit Brother Maxwell and his family down there in Ghana into your hands. Keep and protect them, oh Lord. He's your servant, oh Lord. There's no holiday for a minister. He's there, busy at the Father's business. Keep him, oh Lord. Give him strength, oh Heavenly Father. No matter how the The body can be tired, but anytime you'll stand behind the pulpit to minister to your people, oh Lord, let the Holy Ghost take over and speak and meet the need of the people. Be with us, oh Lord, as we prepare to depart. Go with us, remembering our sister Margot down there, and the husband, oh Lord. Touch them, Heavenly Father. Touch them, oh Lord. Heal them, oh Lord. We commit, we know, oh Lord, that you are more than able. Distance is nothing to you, oh Lord. Let this prayer, let the anointing that has been with us tonight, be with them where they are, oh Lord. And let them come and testify of you, the goodness of the Lord in this congregation, oh Lord. Be with us, bless the weekend. Let everything be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, really. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's sing whatever you have as we dismiss. May the Lord richly bless you. Safe journey home until we meet on Sunday. Sunday, we're uniting together with the saints from Wolverhampton. So I think Brother Virgis will be here tomorrow afternoon. Thanks, brother. Brother Alex O'Kenny just asked if we could connect up tomorrow in the afternoon to test the connection and stuff because of last week. So I know there had been talk maybe of a backup Wi-Fi or something like that. I know the trustee that is, there might be a good plan to think of something like that because our connection at the moment is bad.
Sometimes Sister Margot last week said the sound just went off.
Yeah, just sometimes two, three times it can stop. So we thanks, Brother Virgus, for that. So they're going to connect up tomorrow. Let's keep it in prayer. That's the answer. God bless you, saints, you, whatever you have for us there, brother Jess.
Where he will lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. And I
Jesus, my friend.